Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or just seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today's show, we're going to talk about attachment and what happens when a child doesn't attach. And but I was thinking the first thing we should probably do is differentiate between attachment and bonding.
Okay. Sometimes
those words are used interchangeably, and they're not really the same thing. Not from a developmental psychology perspective.
They're not?
No, they're not the same thing. Bonding is what happens from the parent to the child, and attachment is what happens from the child to the parent.
They don't bond with each other? That's what always confused me.
Well,
I know there's a distinction.
Right. So when you use the common definition, I think, of the word bond, yes, it goes back and forth.
Right.
But from the perspective of developmental, emotional attachment and emotional bonding is a little bit different.
I think it's right to start with that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because it does clarify it some for parents.
Yeah.
Attachment and bonding is two-way. The infant bonds with the parent and all. But it's, I think, helpful if you think of it the way you defined it.
Mm-hmm.
The attachment, the parent attaches to the child.
The parent bonds to the child.
Bonds with the child.
Right. So,
and the child attaches to the parent.
Right.
But we're going to talk about attachment parenting.
Yes, we're going to talk about. But so what happens is, and I think that we are seeing a significant change in practices at hospitals and birthing centers and things like that. Because what's happening now is, you know, back in the day, remember, you know, dads used to wait out in the waiting room and passing out cigars, all that
if
kind of stuff.
If they were even there.
Right.
My dad was at work
when
all of his children were born.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, you know, hospitals are set up so that the fathers are often in the room with the mother as the baby's being born. And what happens is, you know, as soon as the baby's born, one of the things that's really important to happen is that the mother and father are allowed to interact with the child as early as possible.
Right.
And that is when that emotional bond that I was talking about, that's when that emotional bond happens.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers and fathers can feel it.
I was almost surprised.
It immediately.
You remember the birth? You remember the birth of your first child.
Sure.
One of the most.
Sure.
I was really shocked at my immediate reaction when I saw my first child.
Right.
When he was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was really stunned with my reaction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had no idea it was going to be that strong.
Well, and what's amazing, and I think that people will relate to this, is that, you know, we see it on TV, you see a baby being born or something like that, and you know, let's be honest, they're born with slime and stuff like that all over them, and you see the parents holding them, and you're like,
butter
what are they
popcorn,
doing?
It's like they had to rub them with lard first.
Yeah, and Crisco, all of, but what happens is that when it's your child, that doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
You like take them, and you're like,
this is great,
fantastic,
roll around in this slime.
Get it all over my clothes. It's great.
No, but, you know, you make the point about watching a birth on TV. There's no emotional reaction. But, boy, when you're in the delivery room and you've been through the labor and delivery process and you see that baby for the first time.
And that's the key. That's the emotional piece is the key, because that is what really solidifies that relationship between the parent and the child.
That sets it into motion.
But that's from the parent to the child. And that's why mothers and now fathers too, you know, if there is a situation where the child has to go into the nursery or something like that.
Right.
I always found it amazing before I experienced it myself that mothers and fathers could recognize which one was their child in the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking,
they look the same.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they can, because there's that emotional bond happens.
Right.
And from an evolutionary perspective, that's really important because humans are born so dependent
You know, we're not like horses where we can walk right away.
That's right.
We are so dependent that we have to be taken care of. And so it's critical that the caregiver attaches bonds very quickly with the baby so that we're now dedicated and committed to taking care of and supporting and protecting the child.
That's right. Right. Because that sets into motion the child's brain development,
right,
and later cognitive development and language development. Absolutely. And social development. It's all set into motion by that initial attachment, bonding,
right,
whatever we call it. At birth, we also, both men and women, during this delivery process, produce oxytocin,
right,
and that's another reason why there's this immediate attachment. I didn't know about that at the time, at the birth of my first child. I knew it at the birth of my other kids, but I didn't realize that we produce oxytocin during the birth process. And that neurohormone, that neurotransmitter, also helps the brain have these feelings. You mentioned that mothers and fathers can recognize their newborns. If you blindfold mothers, they can find their babies by smell.
Right, right.
They can just go through a whole list and they can recognize their baby somehow.
Absolutely.
By its smell. I suppose it has something to do with pheromones or something.
It's amazing.
I don't know the literature on that topic, but I know there have been studies done.
Yeah.
You can you get it. You attach immediately.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and so when that bond happens at birth, that sets, as you said, things into motion. But then, over the course of the first year or so, the child attaches to the parent. And again, that's developmentally critical because, you know, back not too long ago, the mortality rate was pretty high for mothers. You know, mothers did not consistently survive giving birth as often as they do now. And so it was critical that the child didn't, you know, we weren't like ducklings where we imprint on the birth giver, because if the mother died, then, you know, the baby would then die as well, because the baby wouldn't connect with anyone else, wouldn't feed from anybody else or anything like that. So
that's true. If you think of a pioneer, like in the middle of the 1800s or the early 1800s, you're out there all by yourself. Mm-hmm. If the mother dies, typically the baby would die because it couldn't attach to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. So, so over the first year, as the parent is, you know, taking care of the child, supporting him or her, giving her food, meeting her needs, that is when the child attaches to the parent.
Right.
So
this is the person meeting my needs.
Exactly.
And I'm going to stay close to this person.
And this kind of attachment is derived from security, safety, consistency, all of those things that we hope that parents will be able to do. Now, when that works well, when a parent cares for the child adequately such that the child develops a good attachment, the child tends to be healthier, tends to be happier, tends to be more secure and more stable.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, it's a two-step process. One, they're getting their needs met.
Right.
That's the first thing. And then it's that attachment is the engine. Some developmental specialists refer to this attachment as the engine that drives later development. Right. It's really crucial.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when that attachment doesn't happen, when a child doesn't attach, we tend to experience problems.
Right.
There's this whole area called attachment theory, and there are those who suggest, and I tend to agree, that if a child doesn't form an adequate attachment to their parent, we have a significant increase, not just in emotional and behavioral issues and things like that, but we also have a significant increase in the later development of personality disorders and things like that.
You know,
depending on the nature of how it happened.
You know, when we learned that? World War II.
Right.
Because we had all these orphans after the war, and those newborns, infants, and young children who didn't attach to a nurturing caregiver had problems later on.
There was a
large sample
of
kids who were unattached. In fact, when Maria Montessori, Montessori schools, when she started, she was a pediatrician in Italy, and she started her first school for those children, those orphan children who were just running around on the streets of Rome.
Yeah. So it's really important that we are mindful of that, so that, you know, when we're raising our kids and we're trying to nurture them during those first years, mm-hmm. that we allow them to create a bond through our consistency, through right. our nurturing of them, and when they make that attachment, it's great. But again, as you said, you know, when there is that detachment, whether it's through physical abuse, neglect, just the absence mm-hmm. of a parent, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have. And what's fascinating is, as I said, or was kind of suggesting a minute ago, it doesn't have to be the biological parent. It just has to be
a nurturing caregiver.
Right. And that is what seems to be critical right. to healthy emotional development.
That's right.
That leads to a strong attachment and lots of other subsequent positive
That's right.
things.
Because in some cultures, in fact, in the southern United States, pre-Civil War, many young children really attached to a nanny,
right?
You know, typically a slave,
right?
Who became the primary caretaker,
right?
You're going to talk more about what goes wrong if it doesn't happen.
The types of things that can go wrong. There's quite a spectrum of things that can go wrong. It often leads to behavioral issues. And of course, those behavioral issues can lead to emotional issues, can lead to learning issues, can lead to all kinds of other problems. But it can also lead to personality issues, which affects the way in which a person interacts with other people, the nature
later.
Of their relationships,
yeah.
and the way that they interact with other people later in
right.
their life.
That's right. I was astonished when I did a more careful study of this topic a couple of years ago. How essential that first year or 18 months
mm-hmm.
Is to subsequent personality and emotional development.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole branch of couples therapy now that's based on attachment theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know how,
mm-hmm.
and that may be the key as to why certain couples
right.
have difficulties, because it does affect later. Your ability to have relationships later on.
Yeah.
So there are long-term effects of inadequate bonding
right.
and attachment during infancy.
Right.
But I want to mention those rat studies. Do you know,
mm-hmm.
the rat studies? We can
yeah.
talk about those too before we leave.
Yeah. Well, not just the rat studies, but the studies that they did with monkeys, where they looked at, you know, the type of nurturing
mm-hmm.
They had these baby monkeys. It's actually a little, they're kind of sad videos to watch, because these studies weren't done that long ago.
Right.
Right. Where they would have a baby monkey and that they had removed from its mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have two sort of caregivers. One was just a wire mesh that
That's
had
right.
A bottle
right.
Attached to it. Mm-hmm. And the other was something with fur on it that was
mm-hmm.
more resembled a
more
mother,
like a real monkey, yeah.
but didn't
mm-hmm.
have food.
Right.
And some of the baby monkeys would almost starve,
right?
Because it gave up food for the nurturing, for the comfort
right.
Of the thing that was more closely related
mm-hmm.
to a mother. So we know that many times children, as we're growing, will give up some of the really important things needed for
mm-hmm.
survival for an attachment, for a connection with somebody who is giving it the warmth and the security and the safety that it feels it needs.
Right. And they will give up food
mm-hmm.
and end up with that condition.
Yeah, failure to thrive.
Failure to thrive, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kids will actually die, infants, newborns will actually die
right.
from what is called non-organic failure to thrive, where there's no physical reason.
Right.
It's not because the child can't metabolize nutrients. It's that it's a lack of attachment,
right.
a lack of bonding called non-organic failure to thrive.
Yeah.
There was a study done with rat pups, they would be removed from their mothers, and they would be stressed, and they would be returned to the
mm-hmm.
cages. And the mothers who had an ample amount of licking and grooming to welcome the stressed pup back, and they would do adequate licking and grooming, those rats turned out okay. But the rats whose mothers didn't have adequate licking
mm-hmm.
and grooming, when they studied those rat brains, they discovered a segment of DNA had
mm-hmm.
changed.
Yeah.
So it has profound, these aren't just emotional effects, it has profound biological effects.
Right.
and can change a segment of DNA.
Right.
That same segment of DNA has also been found in humans who have been neglected and abused. So it has powerful, powerful effects, not just emotional. These are real biological effects that lead to later problems if you have inadequate bonding and attachment.
Right. And what that's rooted in, and it's something that you probably hear a lot about in the media and stuff, and that's a segment of research now called epigenetics.
Epigenetics.
Where our environment changes our genes.
That's right.
And so we know that happens through our diet, through exercise, through other life experiences and stuff. Mm-hmm. But as you said, it also happens mm-hmm. during those first 12 to 18 yeah. months or so is just right. so important. So.
And we always, you know, we've heard about abuse, mm-hmm. the effect that abuse has on children. In the last few years, we now know that neglect has the same kind of profound effects on later development.
Right, right. So, yeah. So
an important topic.
Absolutely. So, sure. All right. I think that is it for today. It's a huge topic, and maybe one that we should consider a series for on our Paideia mm-hmm. YouTube channel. We are working to sort of beef that up a little bit.
Because it is possible to get too close and to do too much.
Absolutely. You know?
And so there's that balance that we always want to try to achieve.
It has to be there.
And we've been talking about attachment parenting, and someday we're going to talk about detachment parenting.
Right.
Because it's just as important to practice mm-hmm. a balanced detachment parenting as it is to have attachment parenting.
Right.
So that will be in the future.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening or watching, whichever the case may be.
That's either right. way. Watching or listening.
That's right.
So if you're driving, we hope you're listening.
That's right. It would not be as safe.
Yeah. Don't watch us while you're driving.
That's right. So, all right. But we will be back tomorrow. For another with another episode, so stay tuned. Make sure that you're following us, you're liking it, things you're mm-hmm. you're subscribing, whatever, depending on the media that you're checking us out through. Do whatever that says to do, and make sure that you write us a review or rate us on iTunes. That would be fantastic. We would love it. It'd be so cool if you did that.
And if our students are listening,
yeah,
let us hear from you.
It'd be okay. great.
Love to have your questions.
Absolutely. So, all right. So we will see you tomorrow. And until then, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Stay happy and healthy. Forget to be afraid.